I'm glad you're back with us. We're considering the Bible. We're talking about this book of books, this most translated, most circulated book in all of history. And we're trying to ask some key questions about it. We've established in our first couple of talks, I think we've attempted to establish that it is unique, that it is truly worthy of our examination and of our consideration. There is no other book exactly like it in so very many different ways. So we've talked about that. And then in our second discussion here, we talked about how do we know that it's true and accurate. We talked about the process by which this book, the Bible, 66 different books written over a period of 1500 years by about 40 different authors, how the process by which that book has made it through the centuries to what we see today. Not only our English language Bibles, whether it's the different versions that have been created and that we have gotten. We have a rich, rich wealth of information about the Bible linguistically today, richer than ever before, but also other languages and other. How can we examine? So we tried to establish the idea that it is true, it is accurate. The information we have, the places, the times, the events, what happened is what the author wrote, and that it has not been changed through the ages, through the centuries. Now we come to a deeper and probably, in some ways, more important question, although you definitely need to know if it's true. Before we ask this question, it doesn't remove the idea that it would be true. But now we're going to face the question of how do we know that it is the Word of God? Or on what basis do we believe that this book has a supernatural source, that it comes to us from the Creator Himself? Now, the Bible, it claims that over and over again for itself in so very many ways. One of the most obvious ways is the number of times we read the words, "Thus says the Lord, so says the Lord your God." God claims very clearly, even in the context of when it was being spoken, that this is coming, this message is coming from God Himself. So we're going to look at five evidences that we believe that that God Himself has sourced, has birthed these words and to us and that we have received. And one of the first of these is, again, we've already mentioned it in terms of his uniqueness, but this amazing continuity, this amazing consistency of the Bible from beginning to end, written over centuries now and over, again, you cannot really overemphasize how important it is that all the different situations, the different contexts in which the Bible was written, in which those words, "Thus says the Lord," were proclaimed. Like I said, times of plenty, times of scarcity, times of richness and wealth, and times of poverty, all kinds of different situations, and that we see this continuity, the context, the content that is being delivered to us doesn't change. And let me relate this in a particular way to the redemptive plan of God. There are all kinds of things and facts and information that is passed in the scriptures, but the one central message, and we'll again talk about this more in depth later, is that God is trying to reconcile man to himself, and that God is holy and righteous and just and perfect, and yet man early on fell into sin, into selfishness, and that we became separated in that relationship with God. We became separated from God. And God immediately, if you read in the early book, the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, we see God dealing with Adam and Eve, the first human beings, and they fall into sin. And then God somehow works in that context, and we see it clearly, to reconcile them to himself, to forgive them, and to invite them back into, but not just willy-nilly, a price had been paid. Something had to be done that would enable their sin to be covered and to be forgiven. And so we see that early on in the idea of substitutionary atonement. In Adam and Eve's sin, they felt shame, they felt their guilt, And then God covered them in the skins of an animal. So we see early on this, and he told them too, someday I'm going to send a Messiah. I'm going to send a Redeemer, a human being. He said, the seed of woman, be a male of the species, but he will redeem you. He will overcome the effects of evil and sin in this situation. And we see that pictured in the substitutionary atonement, that an animal died. And later on, we see that again, of course, in Abraham and Isaac. And we see that in the time of Moses and the law that God delivered to the people of Israel. And we have these sacrifices. And they had a practical purpose, yes, as well. They were helped to feed the priestly tribe, those who looked out for the spiritual well-being, even as our offerings today in our churches and in our different worship settings, offerings are given to support those who minister to us and lead us. But we also see here that a Lamb of God had to come, and that those offerings were a picture of God's redemptive plan. When the priest would put his hands over the head of the humble, penitent person and then place his hands on the head of the animal that was to be sacrificed, symbolically, they could see the picture of your guilt is being atoned, passed to this creature, and he is taking the penalty of that sin. Well, of course, we are not redeemed in the scriptures by the blood of bulls and goats and sheep and so on, but by the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, this Messiah, this Redeemer that I've already alluded to several times. But we see that redemptive plan. What I'm trying to get to in this context is that same continuity of the redemptive plan was the same from the very beginning all the way to the time of Jesus, the Lamb of God, the true Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world centuries later. Do you see the strand, the continuity, the consistency of the message? It became sharper, more specific, more clear, but it was always the same. It's like, I think sometimes we look at artists, particularly in the Native community. We have tremendous artists and very skilled, and they can imagine and see something in their minds, and they can put it onto a palette and they can paint it. Now, if you watch them at work, at first it seems perhaps a little blurry, unclear what it is actually going on. And yet, as time goes on, the more and more the vision becomes clearer, more concrete, more specific, till we come out with this beautiful, beautiful painting, this beautiful work of art, and that we can identify and understand very clearly. Well, it was always the same in the heart and mind of the artist and as it was developed. But, and we could see, and we can, maybe if we've watched the whole process, we can trace its progress as it transmits and it becomes more and more specific. Well, that's what we see in the Bible in many ways. There is a miraculous continuity to the Bible that we've already addressed, a continuity, a consistency to such an extent that it's overwhelming. It wouldn't happen naturally. In fact, we could take five controversial subjects, even in a classroom of a student, 20 or 25 students, they've heard and experienced the same thing, but they'll come out with totally different ideas and different understandings of it. Well, in the scriptures, we have this miraculous continuity over centuries and through many, many, many different lives. Well, let's jump on quickly. I'm going to move forward to the Bible has the ring of truth to it. It records some supernatural things, some things that are quite amazing. There are some healings. People are raised from the dead. There are things that we're told about in the Bible, the sun moving backwards, time is affected, that take place. Yes, there are things that are supernatural, and yet they're never spoken of in a shallow sort of mystical or fairy tale way. They're in a context, in a specific context with a specific meaning and purpose. And we can see them. The Bible has the ring of truth, even as it presents those things, but it also explains human nature. It speaks into our human condition. No matter what race, what tribe, what culture, what language we speak, the Bible is universal. It speaks to human beings of what we feel and what we think, and to our reactions. And it helps us, it shows us that God at work with and performing in different situation, in different contexts. Even in the Bible, the writers of the Bible didn't cover up their own warts, their own flaws, their own mistakes, which is another aspect of the Bible. Painting a picture describes our human experience in clear terms, perfectly. And there, that is a strong evidence too of its supernatural sourcing. Then, of course, there's something perhaps more measurable are these predictions. Over and over again, well over 1,000 times, even in the Hebrew scriptures, events are predicted and foretold in the prophesied in the future. Things are said that are going to happen that haven't happened. Sometimes a year or two or 5 or 10 years, sometimes hundreds of years later. But the events are announced that are going to take place. These predictions and prophecies are a tremendous evidence for the supernatural sourcing of the Bible. And it's not just 5 out of 10 or 6 or 10 or 7 out of 10. It's every prediction, every prophecy that is put out there actually literally comes true 100% of the time. In fact, if you read in the Hebrew scriptures, God actually explains to, I think in the book of Jeremiah, that this is the way you'll know a true prophet, is that when he says and predicts something that I have told him, it will happen. If it doesn't happen, then he's a false prophet, a false message. And so the Bible is aware of that. And of course, we pick up on that as well and can apply it to the whole message of scripture. The prophecies that happen about wars, about empires that will rise and fall and so on, and particularly about those prophecies that are fulfilled in the life of that one special individual, the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Savior, whom God would send into the world. Those prophecies are so important, a very important evidence for us. And then there's the evidence that we find in the life of that Messiah. Jesus of Nazareth. The prediction, over 300 prophecies about the Messiah in the Old Testament, the Hebrew scriptures, and every one of them fulfilled perfectly in the life of Jesus of Nazareth. And once we come to that understanding that he indeed was that person, that he indeed is one of those predictions and prophecies that show us that God is speaking and God has acted, then we take the testimony of Jesus and he himself, as a perfect man of faith, the one who came to live a perfect life of faith and trust and submission, obedience to God the Father, and then he who knew no sin became sin for us. He became that Lamb of God who took upon himself the sins of the world. He himself, with the authority in his role and his place as the Messiah, he himself had tremendous respect from the scriptures, and he was a man of the scriptures. When you squeeze Jesus, out came the scriptures. That is, his testimony is a powerful witness as well to the fact that the Bible is indeed the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, he said himself. Now, the final point I want to make about the supernatural sourcing of the Bible, is it God's word, is the fact that it changes lives. Through the centuries, lives have changed. People have believed the message and by faith come into that relationship with God, and their lives have been transformed. My own life was transformed. And I could tell you that story. And I think I have in one of our episodes of The Storyteller. I've told a little bit of my story and how God stepped into my life and I came to know him, and my life has changed and even continues to be changed. And you can hear many, many stories of Native people from all the different tribes and across North America. So many have come to know God, the God of the Bible, and their life has been transformed. Their lives have been healed in so many ways, and they have found purpose and meaning and direction for their life that they didn't have before. They find the ability to love and forgive and to be the kind of men and women that they have wanted to be because of their relationship with God that they found through the message of this book of books we call the Bible. And indeed, I think with confidence, we can say with plenty of evidence to back it up that it is indeed the Word of God.